Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Today, we're going to talk a little bit further from our previous podcast on the Visionary Chronicles from my new book, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands. Again, I'd mentioned before, thank you to all of those who purchased the book, and the feedback that we've been getting has been tremendous. And again, I always say where you can apply the knowledge is where I really like to see the feedback. But again, thank you for making this a Amazon bestseller. And also had received the Reader's Favorite Award winner for Best Nonfiction Marketing Book. So we're very happy about that as well. So again, I'm going through in these podcasts, through the chapters in the book, giving you a little bit of an insight into each subject matter that I put inside the book. So today we're going to talk a little bit further on the Power Triad. I talked about it last podcast, but it's an important subject. It's a group or a team put together for the future success of the brand, product, marketing, and sales. And I always like to start out with a quote. In this case, I have one from, of course, Steve Jobs, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." That's a pretty simple quote, but extremely powerful. You know, this quote from Steve, I find to be that passion plea for creators to never be satisfied with the status quo. Always be asking questions, the why, how, what, when, and where. And, you know, trying to find answers to these questions that others haven't asked. And that's really the key when we talk about this process of new products and how do these generational visionary brands continue to put these innovations in the pipeline and kind of surf these for generations. It's amazing to me. And when I wrote the book, it was one of the most intriguing subjects and why I had this, why I had the title for the book, The Visionary Brand. And as you read through the book, you'll find that there's a lot of components to great, what I would call still visionary brands, but I didn't find the visionary brand and why I specifically named the book the way I did. So, you know, what I find is these creators and these visionary brands, the first key to success is having a vision and someone that can passionately execute that vision in the marketplace. And who is that? It's what I call the Power Triad. It's the product, marketing, and sales team. If you've got a visionary at the top, someone that's set the path and the future for your brand and your company, you need someone who's going to execute that vision. And that's this group. It's product, marketing, and sales. All three contribute. But each is independent on one another, not independent on one another. So we'll talk about that here a little bit further in this podcast. But again, this quote from Steve, and I kind of want to, as short as it is, has a lot of context to it. You know, stay hungry is that always have a passion for what you're doing as you continue to build your brand. And that passion will show through on the teams and people, individuals that then become a team to execute that vision that Steve had at the top. Stay foolish is take risks. Steve was always one to take risk. He knew without risk, you weren't going to succeed. Risk is generational. Without risk, you're incremental. And so again, this is a passion plea from Steve to those creators out there to not be satisfied with the status quo and just don't imitate. You know, I always say, don't imitate, innovate. And so always, again, be asking these questions, why and how on the product team and also on the marketing team. You know, those are two important components of the Power Triad, and those are the first two that allow sales to succeed. Now, there's a lot of skill set on the sales side. Certainly, I'm not saying that's not important, but it's part of the Power Triad, so it's extremely important. But unless those first two things in sequence are executed, Sales will have no product to sell, and they will have no collateral or marketing juice behind the product. Both of those are integral to the success. You may be the best salesperson in the world, but if you don't have a great product and you don't have a marketing machine behind you, more often than not, you're going to fail. So let's talk about these in a little bit more in depth, and talking about these questions, you know, always ask that why and how, and why things haven't been done yet, or why do we need to do it this way, and how do we change it? So in response to these questions, you know, you find a way to separate your brand from the status quo. That's a key component when you talk about your brand and talking about this process, this ideation process of how you go about creating generational products. Now, those are few and far between. We're talking about the light bulb, the iPod, the iPhone. You know, those are things that are aspirational. And they're inspiration for those on the product side that are looking to have an impact in your category. Those transformational products that are revolutionary. So again, in response to these questions, find a way to separate yourself. You know, you need to be transparent. You have to have a cohesive process to ensuring that your greatest ideas become a reality. And I say that because there's many great products that were left in the dust, never to be seen again, that were never given a chance to breathe life into. And those visionaries are ones that not only understand that you need this transparent process to realizing great generational products, but they also knew they needed to take risk along the way. Those that don't take risk are incremental product improvements. They're commodity brands or commodity product companies, I should say. I never put those two in the same sentence where I say commodity and brand. So in this podcast, I want to talk further under discussion on the power triad. You know, the three engines that keep a brand thriving. I talked about product, marketing, and sales. You know, bringing these, what I call these insanely great products to market is truly a process. And with the brands that I have been with, those global brands that you're familiar with, the Adidas, Oakley, K-Swiss's of the world, Nikes, and those that we work with Liquid Mind, also Nike and Adidas, and also mid-cap small startup firms. All of these have the same process. It's just one, like a Nike or an Adidas, are further along in building their brand equity through this process that they implemented generations ago. So these three engines that keep a brand thriving, the product, marketing, and sales, and I say this power triad because it really just like kind of like a triangle. But this triangle has a process and a flow to it. And what I'll talk about in a minute is that if you break that flow, it leads to failure. Follow that flow through interdependence, not independence, brings success. So bringing insanely great products to market is a process. There is a method to the madness. Many times, maybe you've seen the movie Air, or you've read the book Shoe Dog. It's a great example of people that think Nike just naturally was successful because they had the greatest people, they had the greatest process, they had the greatest product, but it's just it couldn't be further from the truth. They had to find their way. But once they did, the key to their success was they had a process. If you've seen Phil Knight, the movie Air, you'll see that he's got points up on the board. If those that haven't seen it or read Shoe Dog, I would highly recommend that you read it. It's a great from humble beginnings with Blue Ribbon to creating Nike and building a generational brand that all of us are familiar with and all of us use, most of us, every day. So there is a method to the madness. And once you've found that method, that process, the key to success is ensuring that you continue to follow that process and you have an innovation pipeline that you can surf for generations. You know, we'll often create a product when there seems to be no demand. And when you look back on even the laptop computer many generations ago, and you look at the light bulb, Those were things that were laughed off by people. Well, why do we need a light bulb? We have candles. Why do we need a car? Henry Ford said, you know, if I asked my consumer what they were looking for, they would tell me a faster horse. So these asking the customer, doing the feedback, doing all of these potential solutions to finding a great product isn't done through the past. And it isn't done through asking those that don't know they need it yet. And another great one is the iPhone. People felt perfectly comfortable with a flip phone until they saw what the iPhone could do. So again, you'll often create a product when there seems to be no demand. So don't get sidetracked by customer surveys, customer feedback. That's great customer feedback on product that's in the market. But remember, where is that? That's in the past. What you're trying to do is create the future. So there's a supply and demand problem. What do you do and how do you do it? So when we talk about the power triad, this is really the process that you go through. And it really starts with what we call the ideation process. So when the power triad determines opportunities to disrupt or reinvent how a product works or how a process provides a solution, this is the front end of the ideation process. And those that have an efficient ideation process know that it's done through adaptable technologies. It's doing disrupting a process and how it currently works. It's finding a way to move you beyond incremental improvements. Generation one, generation two. Now that will certainly help you along the supply and demand chain. We talked about the product squeeze in the book as well, where you have differing price points and different generations, but it doesn't degrade brand equity. So the product marketing and sales team are very, very sensitive. They're the carriers of the torch, I call it, the brand, the torch. What they do is ensure that they understand the vision and have a passion around the vision, and it's built and flowing through their bloodlines every day. So they know what's right for the brand, the right product for the brand, the right marketing for the brand, the right voice for the brand, and the right distribution channels for the brand. That's just as important as the product, by the way. You know, I understand people will say good, better, and best. You can't put a best product in a good channel. But you'd be surprised how many people cut corners on price point, put in a product in a channel where your brand doesn't belong, degrades brand equity, but more importantly, it degrades brand trust and loyalty and long-term customer value. So it's important that you have this power triad inside of your company. But it's also important that they understand the vision, the steps to executing that vision, the process to executing that vision, the interdependence that's needed between product marketing, sales, and the process to commercialize a product, a process to marketing a product, and a process to selling a product. So when we look at this ideation process, it's driven and led by the product and marketing teams. Predominantly, it's led by the product team because it's always something that you're looking to innovate or disrupt. So it could be, I say, product or service, but effectively inside of whatever company it is or brand it is, it always is through the product team. And when you look at the power triad, and I have this in the book, I talk about case studies actually with Under Armour. And this process is what I say, led by product and input by marketing and sales teams. And when you look at being driven and led by the product and marketing team, each is responsible for a critical ingredient to the brand's ongoing success formula. And I use those two terms so you can get an idea of this kind of formula. And it's really when I looked at the formula for success in the book was there's a lot of ingredients to success. And so I'll give you these pieces of the puzzle that will be required in order for you to have success. So again, the ideation process is driven and led by the product marketing team. Each is responsible for a critical ingredient to the brand's ongoing success formula, starting with a premium product. And that's predominantly what I talk about as a premium product, because if I'm talking about commodity, and I mentioned this many times in the podcast, is you don't need a formula. You're just putting competitors' products on a table and you're copying them at a lower price point. That's your strategy. Nothing wrong with it, but that's a commodity brand and I can't really help you with your success there, other than you better have somebody that's continually providing to you disruptive products. We had that at Oakley. We didn't care what the competition did. We knew that we were on the leading edge of technology, the leading edge of culture. We were on the leading edge of marketing. And everybody was looking to us for the next great product and the next great invention that everybody could copy. And our intention is, as we surf this pipeline of innovation and disruption, is that we'll always have something coming through the back end. And by the time somebody tries to catch up with us, we'll be on the back end of the curve with second or third generation of product at a lower price point that the customer has accepted, but they're now part of our brand. So it's a key principle behind being successful as a brand. So when you look at this, these critical ingredients, the brand's ongoing success formula, starting with the product, the premium product, commercialized when ready, not by marketing, but by the product team. So when the product, to say process, the power triad process is not followed correctly, when marketing gets ahead of product, and that's the case, or sales gets ahead of marketing, whatever the breakdown, and I call it breakdown, and I'll get to that in a minute, you get a disaster. And one real life disaster, and this is a case study I have in the book that you can take a look at with in the Visionary brand, and you can see it for more detail, but it's when Under Armour was driven by its marketing success in the early years. You know, it decided to enter a new market, which was football cleats. And anybody that does product knows, hey, stick with your core competency. You know, it's the reason that you have licensees and, you know, hey, give them what we're not good at. In this case, it certainly was a big category for Under Armour, but they needed to understand it wasn't part of their core competency. So during the commercialization process, marketing had committed to a campaign budget to a specific release date. Well, that's a problem number one. So as you are leading or part of this team, you've now jumped over product because you've committed to something that product had no idea. And so product had not signed up to this date that marketing had committed to for big release campaigns. So that's the difference. It's a release campaign. And you're putting big marketing dollars against a release of a new product in anticipation. So the problem is you're putting the dollars out there. There's an anticipation of the product being released. You can't change it. So you've committed yourself. There's a reason Apple keeps product secret, because they're managing expectations. People can say whatever they want, but it's not reality until they actually say that product is commercialized. It's not by marketing. It's not by sales. It's not until Johnny Ive and Steve Jobs put the product out in the real world that we knew that the product was released. So in this case, marketing jumped ahead of sales. So although the product team was not on board with releasing the product, marketing had made commitments and they took the lead with the product not ready for prime time. So that's a problem. The release was a product disaster. The product hit the market. It wasn't ready for prime time. It hit the field, and shoes were literally falling off the football players' feet. So they had to return most of what was released. And then whatever wasn't returned, they proactively went out in the field and tore it off people's feet. You know, credit to Under Armour that they recognized the mistake, but the damage had already been done. You know, the real damage was related to the trust and authenticity, which took decades to earn. You know, in Under Armour's case, they got that loyalty and trust fairly quickly because everybody loved their marketing. You know, they were an apparel company, so the product that they were producing wasn't as sophisticated as a product like football cleats. That's a whole different level with football cleats than it is with apparel. So literally, the real damage was certainly in the revenue, but it was also on trust and authenticity, which took decades to earn and weeks to lose. So what I want the takeaway to be here is that you can lose your brand equity through trust, you know, authentication, loyalty very quickly. But to earn it back takes decades. And literally that's what happened with Under Armour. They were able to get it back, but it certainly damaged their brand equity and also their authenticity with players. Because I can tell you from experience in working with NFL teams, NCAA teams, everybody was reluctant, even when the product was re-released and it was a great product, they were reluctant to wear it because they remembered what happened the last time Under Armour released a cleat. So the lesson learned through the following formula is great product plus great marketing equals success. And I say success for the sales team, because that's what sales wants. They want great product and great marketing. Keep your hands off until you have those two pieces of the puzzle done. And if you follow the process, you will have great product with great marketing. It follows the power triad cycle. But if you have the wrong product and great marketing, it's a failure. You know, that was the Under Armour legacy with the football cleats. So when building your power triad, ensure that they followed the process, product to marketing to sales. You know, there's input from each group along the way. I'm not saying you don't have input. You know, but most of this is on the front end of ideation. But product must commercialize the product. Marketing must market the product. And sales must sell the product. It sounds simple. But I can tell you at Liquid Mind, the brands that we work with, saying and doing are two different things for people. Like, I get it. You put it up on the board. I get it. Oh, okay, yeah, I get it. And then you come to put it into practice, and they're a miserable failure. Products, you know, trying to get product commercialized. Marketing is doing programs independent of what product is doing, not understanding the vision of the brand or the company. And sales is waiting for the product, and they're cutting corners with product that isn't ready for prime time and damaging brand equity. So it's a very delicate process, because I recognize the fact we need to drive revenue. We need to gain market share, but that's only done through loyalty, authentication, and great premium product that is disruptive, or at the very least, innovative, that allows you to move ahead of the competition, not by steps, by leaps and bounds. So again, it's very simple, but very few brands follow it effectively. So again, I go through this in my new award-winning and best-selling book, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands. I also reference in a little bit more in depth, which I think is a pretty cool formula, is breakdown or breakout. The breakdown I referenced already, but you'll be able to see what I talk about with breakout. You can either break out, where each needs each other through interdependence, or break down, as Under Armour did, through independence. And the difference is when you look at it, and I'll give you a quick example, is the power triad that's interdependent on one another and follows a process is successful. Those brands, or I don't even call them brands, this is commodities, is those that are independent, meaning not reliant on one another, working independently, not as a team, or failures. So the power triad is an interdependent group of cross-functional team members working towards a singular goal. That's really what it is, to crush the competition and kick ass and take names. That's really what their job is. So again, build a great power triad team. Give them the independence to be interdependent on one another. The formula for success in building a generational product pipeline and loyal long-term brand following. So again, I say stay true, stay authentic, be different, be great, enjoy the journey along the way. Would love your feedback on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And also, we have another series of podcasts that we're doing with visionaries, where we're actually interviewing those in the business world, those creators, those visionaries, those crazy ones, as people call them, product marketing, sales leaders, and also those, the what I call the poets, the musicians, those that create beautiful music. Those are ones we want to talk to as well. So thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. We can be heard on every podcast channel, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, iHeart, all of the different channels. I'm sure I missed a few. But again, reach out to me at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at Liquid Mind, LiquidMindSite.com. And give me any feedback to chat. Happy to help out. If you go to our new, we just released a new website at Liquid Mindsite, LiquidMindSite. Also proud to say that was a recent award winner as well for design. And also there, we've got a free meeting. You can sign up through Liquid Mindsite, or you can sign up through my personal site, where I'm actually have the Visionary Brand book, which the book is also across all distribution outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, both domestic and international. So again, thank you for making the book a bestseller and also an award winner. And I look forward to the next Visionary Chronicles podcast.